Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics.
Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Ruben Nava, along with Jesse Romero, my partner. We bring to you some Catholic intel, and it's good to be back, Jesse.
Good to have you back, Ruben. Yeah. Good to have you, 10-8.
How was your trip last week?
Over to California.
Yeah, you're
preaching. Yeah, Southern California. I was out there, St. Didicus Catholic Church. It was good. Well, you know, that's my stomping ground, so I saw a lot of people I used to go to Mass with out there, my brother Johnny, my brother Henry. So, yeah, it's always good to go back to home base.
Yeah. So they pat you on the back, say the young man who did good,
and he comes back to the neighborhood, huh?
Yeah. They probably were telling you back then, I think you got potential.
Probably. Who knows?
Anyway, you're doing a good work, Jesse, so keep it up.
Yeah, just trying to push the ball forward, like all of us are trying to do, Ruben. Every one of us, everybody has influence over somebody, and I don't care if it's only one or two people, but try to push them towards Christ, towards the Catholic faith, and get into heaven. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, nobody could help everybody, but everybody could help somebody.
Bingo, that's perfect.
Yeah. What we got going on today, Jesse? This is the American descent into madness, and this is truly madness. What we've seen since the new administration came into power, and it just frightens me how fast things are moving in the direction of the left and the progressives. And this article by Victor Davis Hansen it's a phenomenal article. And this guy is, this guy's no slouch. I mean, he's been a professor. He's filled in at Anderson Senior Fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He's also an American military historian, a columnist, a former classics professor, and a scholar of ancient warfare. He's also been a visiting professor at Hillsdale College since 2004. Hillsdale is one of my favorite schools. You know, it's a Christian school, but they no nonsense, man.
They don't take government money, and they teach straight. It's kind of like St. Thomas of Aquinas College and a few others, where they teach what's called a classical Western education.
Yeah,
they don't teach none of this, values clarification and CRTD and LGBT. It's a classical Western education, and that's probably the iconic Protestant college in the country right now. Ruben. Of Victor David Hansen, he talks about a few topics here. I'm going to jump on the first one where he talks about citizenship as mere residency. He says 2 million people are anticipated to cross the southern border en masse and illegally over a 12-month period. If that absurdity were to continue, we would be adding the equivalent of a major U.S. city every year. Mm-hmm. The new arrivals have three things in common. And by the way, the Democrats know this. Their first act was to break U.S. law by entering the country, number one. Number two, their second was to break the law by residing here illegally. And number three, the third will be to find false identification or other illegal means to continue breaking the law. Mm-hmm. One does not arrive as a guest in a foreign country and immediately violate the laws of his host unless one holds those laws in contempt. By the way, what he said here is almost right out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2241, that any immigrant, legal or illegal, must obey the laws of the country where they've immigrated to. And one of the laws is you got to get back in line. Victor Hansen writes, arrivals now cross a border that had been virtually closed to illegal immigrants by January 2021 by President Trump, kept his promise. In the cynical and immoral logic of illegal immigration that cares little for the concerns either of the would-be legal immigrants or U.S. citizens, arrivals will be dependent upon the state and thus becomes constituents of progressives who engineered their arrival.
Right.
Yet the issue is not illegal immigration per se. If protests were to continue in Cuba and 1 million Cubans boated to Miami, I'm sure the Biden administration would stop the influx because they know that they'd be voting Republican.
Right.
And why would they do that? In terror that so many anti-communists might tip Florida red forever. Mm-hmm. And how strange that the U.S. government is considering going door to door to bully the unvaccinated, even as it ignores the daily influx of thousands from Mexico and Latin America, knowing that they're going to vote Democrat, without worrying whether they are caring or vaccinated for COVID-19. Meanwhile, the progressive media shrilly warns that the new Delta variant to the various is exploding south of the border. Note how the Biden administration applies standards to its own citizens that it does not apply to foreign nationals illegally entering the country. Reuben, Joe Biden is an absolute disaster.
Yep, and it's going to be my new excuse there when they come to my door. No, well, go check on the immigrants first, man. Don't come knocking on my door. That makes no sense at all. This is, of course.
This is pure politics.
Of course, the media is silent on this. You don't hear a thing about it. All you hear is politicians screaming that everybody needs to be vaccinated. They're the reasons why, you know, they're saying that the unvaccinated is the ones that's causing the spike to go up. But they found out that many people who've had the vaccine are getting sick. You know, maybe not to the extent that, you know, they're not in hospitals dying and stuff. But the other day, a good friend of ours, you know, he caught COVID and he's been vaccinated. So it's crazy how they try to foist that on us. And
that's right.
But they don't ask that of the immigrants. So crime is a construct.
No, that's our wheelhouse there.
Yeah, crime is another current absurdity. There exists a mini industry of internet videos depicting young people, disproportionately African American males, stealing luxury goods from Neiman Marcus in San Francisco, clearing a shelf from Walgreens with impunity, or assaulting Asian Americans. These iconic moments may be unrepresentative of reality, but given the mass transfers and retirements of police and the frightening statistics of large increases in violent crime in certain cities, the popular conception is now entrenched that it is dangerous to walk in our major metropolises, either by day or night, and Chicago has turned into a Tombstone or Dodge City in the popular imagination. Scarier still is the realization that if one is robbed, assaulted, or finds one's car vandalized, it is near certain the miscreant will never be held to account. Either the police have pulled back and find arrests of criminals a lose-lose situation, or radical big city district attorneys see the law as a critical legal theory construct and thus will not enforce it, or the criminal will be arrested and released within hours. And you saw that during the Summer of Love last year. They're releasing all these people that, you know, right back onto the streets and not charging them. The author goes on to say, so a subculture has developed among Americans of passing information about where in the country it is safe, where it is not, and where one can go, where one cannot go. This is clearly not American, but something bizarre out of Sao Paulo, Durban, or Caracas. And it's all the Democratic run cities, Jesse. You know, you got the Baltimores and the Chicagos and the Detroits and LAs and New York. Just look at who's in charge. And, you know, that one mayor in Chicago is a disaster. You know,
and a lot of the district attorneys, Ruben, are George Soros funded DAs,
right,
who won their office because George Soros basically bankrolled their campaign. And they just, were able to, out advertise their opponent. And so George Soros, he realizes that. There's articles that basically say exactly what I'm saying right now. He knows the importance of taking the top cops of these small cities that we call district attorneys, and he can flip a society or flip a city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dick, we're reading from an article of Dr. Victor Hansen. This guy is one of the great thinkers of our day and age. Now he talks about universities, and look at what he says here. The universities over the past 40 years were intolerant, hard left, and increasingly anti-constitutional. But they also fostered a golden goose confidence scheme that administrators dared not injure, given the precious eggs of the federally guaranteed student loans that ensured zero academic accountability and sent tuition costs into the stratosphere. There was an unquestioned supposition that a degree of any sort of any major was the ticket to American success. In cynical fashion, we shrugged that most prestigious institutions were little more than cattle branders that stamped graduates with imprints and gave them unearned privilege for life. This is my take, I call most universities, they're basically seminaries of the left. That's what they are. Victor Hansen says, yet universities now have both hands around their golden goose's neck and are determined to strangle it. The public is being repulsed at the woke McCarthyite culture on campus and will be more turned off when campuses open in the fall in the 2019 style. At the Ivy League or major state university campuses, admissions are no longer based on proportional representation in the context of affirmative action, but are denied increasingly by a reparatory character. We'll continue on this article on the other side, written by Victor David Hansen, one of the premier thinkers of our day and age. The article, you can get it from our show page, vnpr.org. It's called The American Descent into Madness. The American Descent into Madness. Get the article, read it, vnpr.org, or my website, jesseromero.com.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are talking and sharing an article from Victor Davis Hansen. And it's an amazing article. It's laying out really clear about what's going on, what we see in the nation, what's going on in our country.
He goes piecemeal through the different facets of America. Right now I'm sharing what he's talking about, education, which is one of the big areas that the left has taken over. And here's what he says. He says, grade test scores and activities of the white and Asian male college applicants are growing less and less relevant. Only privileged white males with sports skills, connections, or families who give lots of money are exempt from the new racial reparation quotas. The new woke admission policy, ironically, is targeting the liberal suburban professional family. The left's constituency, whose lives are so fixated on whether the children graduate from Yale, Princeton, Harvard, Stanford, or like campuses, given the radical change in incoming student profiles, the faculty increasingly will have to choose between accusations of racism or grading regardless of actual performance. Given thousands of new enrollees do not meet the entrance standards of just 2 or 3 years ago, remember that since wokeism was always a top-down elite industry, minority progressives will still fight it out with white leftists in intramural scraps over titles, salaries, and managerial posts. In other words, the left fights amongst themselves as well, Ruben.
Right.
The public, look at this sentence from Victor Hansen. The public has had enough. For the first time, people will ask why we are subsidizing student loans, why are multi-billion dollar endowments not taxed, and why do we think that a BA in sociology, Ruben, what happened there? Why do we think a BA in sociology or psychology or gender studies is an investment that prepares anyone for anything?
Useless.
Hey, you became you had a good, great career as a cop. It wasn't useless.
Yeah, I know.
It worked for you.
It was actually, I was able to use it, when I testified in the gang unit and also narcotics and stuff. So
yeah, there you go.
It worked. But this is so true what we see here. And, they did away with the ACTs and I don't know if they're still doing the SATs, but they were doing away with a lot of these testings to get you into school. So they're letting people in that don't belong there, and just to try to fill a quota, or so that they don't look like they're racist. They're doing their part, right? The white privilege is, and so it's the school system is all is really messed up. And if you want to send your kids to college, you might rethink that, because you could save a lot of money and not just send them there to get indoctrinated and, you know, come out with a something that they can't use.
With a Marxist degree.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Chicano studies or, you know.
And then, anyway. Then wear a ponytail and run for the Board of Supervisors.
Right. The next topic is commissars and Jacobins. So commissars are just an official of the Communist Party, especially in the former Soviet Union or present-day China, responsible for political education and organization. So he says that the critical race theory craze is reaching peak woke, or is already on the downslope. No complex and sophisticated society is sustainable from a creed of cannibalizing citizens for thought crimes. Commissars do not produce anything or serve anybody, but only monitor thoughts and speech to ascertain the purity of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you heard the Biden administration just say that they were looking to work with Facebook to get misinformation wiped out. Those people, block those people who are spreading disinformation.
Yeah, what they perceive as disinformation.
Yeah, exactly. Who's the,
like, if you say Jesus is Lord, disinformation. Yeah. Biden's wipe it out.
Yeah. No, he's a he's an Orthodox Catholic, right? He's a
that's right. Yeah.
So he says. They're not just a drain on the productive sector, but will insidiously destroy it, since their currency is to ensure a timid, obsequious, and banal orthodoxy. And we know from the failed Soviet system, from the French Revolution, that the most mediocre in society became its most eager auditors and correct behavior. The arbiters of proper thought, the self-righteous paid today, the perpetual victim employed in service to government paycheck, the freelancing snitch who were always the villains of freedom, productivity, and humanity, whether we read of the killing off of Alexander the Great's inner circle, the forced suicides of the Neronian circle, the Jacobin murder spree, or the nightmarish world described by Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Solzhenitsyn.
So, yeah, so Alex Solzhenitsyn was that. He was a Russian a writer imprisoned by Stalin, mm-hmm. who lived in and wrote about. He lived to write about it. And Alexander, Solzhenitsyn was born on December 11th, 1918, and in Russia, in Kislovodsk, Russia, he fought in the World War II, but it was arrested for criticizing Joseph Stalin. Spent 11 years in labor camps and exile, but then he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in Literature in 1970. So. These are just some examples of what the left is doing. He's giving some analogies of what some of these people are like. That the Biden administration has now joined the Silicon Valley to hunt down on social media any dissenters from this month's official policy on vaccinations and mask wearing was not so shocking as to be expected from a media that banned coverage of Hunter Biden's laptop. And in Cuban fashion, millions of judge, jury, executioner, online snitches with government encouragement will help root out incorrect thoughts at light speed. That's what we were just talking about.
Silicon Valley was always trying to, well, they stood in opposition of President Trump. They were always trying to, like, hold his feet to the fire, every single word that came out of his mouth. Now, Silicon Valley, the social media big giants, are working alongside Biden administration to enforce his policies. You talk about a complete role reversal. And by the way, social media, just like the mainstream media, they should be independent of the government and just put out the facts and actually help us hold the government accountable. That's no longer the case, Ruben.
Yeah.
They work for Biden.
Yeah.
So let me, Victor Hansen talks about now inflation here. And boy, oh boy, just take a look at your gas prices. Look at the price of wood. Here's what Victor Hansen writes. This affects the average person in America right now. He says, we used to know what inflation was, its pernicious role in past civilizations, and how to combat it. The danger of worthless currency is a staple of classical literature from Aristophanes to Procopius. The scary fact is not just that we're destroying the value of our money, the exploding price of gas, food, appliances, lumber, power, and housing are overwhelming, even Joe Biden's entitlement machine, but that we are constructing pseudo-economics to justify the nihilism. Right now, we witness a multi-trillion dollar fight over borrowing beyond our $30 trillion debt to build infrastructure, a word that has been expanded to include mostly anything but roads and bridges.
Yeah. Yeah.
What exactly is so liberal about the farm worker paying $5 a gallon for gas to commute to the fields? Or the small contractor doing a remodeling job with plywood at $80 a sheet? Or the young couple whose loan qualification is always a month behind the soaring price of a new home? All I can say is, welcome to Biden's America.
Yeah.
President Trump warned us, and guess what? Everything he said is happening just like clockwork.
And worse, I would say worse. I don't know that people could have imagined how far left this guy's gone. And Bernie Sanders is shocked. And so, you know, those people who voted for Joe Biden, man, how do you like him now? Where are all these 80 million people that voted for him? They don't exist, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't.
I saw a meme the other day where, says, hey, rather than go door to door to ask if you've been vaccinated, how about if I go door to door and ask you if you're one of the Biden voters, you know, is that that's it? There's no 80 million voters. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. That number was made out of whole cloth.
Yeah. Okay. So the military, this is, near and dear to my heart, man.
Very sad. Very sad.
What's happening to our military? And it's, let's just get into it. He says that the Americans during this entire descent in madness side, well, quote, well, at least there's the military left. But that, I think they meant John Brennan and all but wrecked the CIA, while James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and Kevin Kleinsmith, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page, etc., had weaponized the FBI. But the military was still a bastion of traditional nonpartisan service whose prime directive was to defend the country. Win any war it was ordered to fight and to maintain deterrence against opportunistic enemies. Well, it was not envisioned as a people's army. It was not a revolutionary Napoleonic nation in arms, and it was not a liberation army. The Constitution, 233 years of tradition, and the Uniform Code of Military Justice all reassured America of its wonderful defense forces. And now we are in the process of a massive re-education and indoctrination campaign. The revamping not only draws scarce resources away from the military readiness, but targets without evidence the white working class and defames it as an insurrectionary, the very same cohort that disproportionately died in Afghanistan and Iraq. Hmm. If only General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Admiral Michael Gilday, chief of naval operations, had been as animated, as combative, and as fired up in the congressional testimony about winning in Afghanistan or deterring the Chinese in the waters off Taiwan as they were in defense of the recommended lists of Marxist-inspired critical race theory texts.
Wow.
So instead of fighting for this, you know, they're going along with the
they're fighting with for the left.
The commander-in-chief is, they're, I wouldn't even say they're just being good soldiers, because this is, you have to know right from wrong and be able to talk some sense into these people. But he says, one purpose of the Uniform Code of Military Justice was not to prevent retired top brass from attacking beloved presidents or even blasé ones. Its aim was to remind the country that it is in the business of civilians, not pensioned retired military subject to recall in times of crisis, to galvanize opinion against loudmouth unpopular presidents like Harry Truman, Richard Nixon, or Donald Trump. The reason why the revolving door became a bipartisan worry was that four-star officers had mastered the navigation of Pentagon procurement. They possessed a rare skill easily and hugely monetized upon retirement, and thus its use was to be discouraged wholeheartedly. So they're saying these guys know how to play the game and move up the chain and so they can get that big pension. And now what? The code is a mere construct. The revolving door is an advertisement for advancing to high rank. Policing the thoughts of American soldiers is apparently more important than fathoming the minds of our enemies on the battlefield.
Good statement.
Yep. We'll be right back. Finish this up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Jesus 911. Don't change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man card, Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're coming back to you just to finish up this article, a well-written article by Victor Davis Hanson, a professor and author. He's written some pretty good books, Jesse. You look at his bio, he's the author of the most recently of the Second World Wars, How the First Global Conflict Was Fought and Won, and another book called The Case for Trump.
Yeah, he's one of the premier conservative thinkers in America right now, without a doubt. He lives in California as well. I'm just wondering if he's a Catholic or not, but I'll tell you one thing. This guy has a real grasp of the issues. And he does have you could tell that he has a very moral worldview. He talks about Cuba here, and he says, what's so hard about understanding that Cuba since 1959 has been a communist gulag, antithetical to human freedom and consensual government? What was so difficult about conceding that Cuba had an ally of the nuclear Soviet Union, or had been an ally of the nuclear Soviet Union, always egging it on to war against the United States? Yet here we are with protesters against a failed evil state in the streets of Havana and our own government media. And professional classes are worried that ossified communism in Cuba may fall. After opening the U.S. southern border to pseudo-political refugees, the Biden administration is terrified that thousands of real ones might come to Miami in the fashion it invited millions to storm into Texas. The Biden administration and the left in general finally revealed what many of us have known. It had no real ideological view on illegal immigration. Its immigration policy of the left is entirely utilitarian and hinged only on whether illegal immigration altered the demography of the electorate in the correct way. In other words,
bingo.
Will illegal immigrants add to the Democrat Party? Yes or no? If they do, that's good. Let them in. Oh, these Cubans will become Republicans because they've seen the failed state of communism. They're going to become Republicans. Don't let them in. That's exactly what's happening here right now. And over the weekend, there was tens of thousands of Cubans in front of the White House peacefully protesting the Biden administration.
Right. That terrifies the Biden administration. So... finally, almost all Americans used to agree that the U.S. Constitution was unique and guaranteed personal freedom in a way the United Nations Charter could not. Dozens of fascist, communist, totalitarian, and authoritarian regimes, usually the majority of governments on Earth, ensured that any General Assembly or U.N. committee ruling would parrot the views of its illiberal and corrupt members. Not anymore. Not anymore. Biden's Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, was invited to the UN to assess whether the United States meets global standards of justice or, in fact, is racist and in need of global censure. Quote, I urge all UN members, states to join the United States in this effort and confront the scourge of racism, racial discrimination, and xenophobia, he said last week, end quote. So that's like asking Libya in 2001 to assess whether our airline pilot training met proper standards or having China adjudicate the conditions in U.S. prisons. And America went from the freest country in the world in December 2019 to a repressive and frightening place by July 2021. It went not so much hard left as stark raving mad. He says in closing, that abrupt descent two is not workable, and millions will collectively decide they have no choice but to push back and conclude in the 233rd year of our republic, we tens of millions are not going to cede freedom of thought and expression to thousands of Maoists. Sorry, no can do.
Great article, Victor David Hansen. You got to read it. Go to vnpr.org or my webpage, jesseromero.com. And it's well, I mean, he chose a good title for it. It's called The American Descent into Madness. Let's move on to another topic here, a law enforcement topic. It says, juror hit with huge fine for telling fellow jurors patch on ISIS officer's uniform is a white supremacist badge. So a New Jersey trial was stopped and the juror was fined thousands of dollars. Good. Mm-hmm. After he disobeyed a judge and Google searched a patch on the uniform of a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer, ICE, believing it to be a symbol for white supremacy. The case of U.S. versus Kevin Ruiz Quesada is a perfect example of how deep the leftist rot of identity politics has affected every aspect of modern life. Even ICE uniforms are being mistaken for or interpreted as symbols of a non-existent system of colonial supremacy and prejudice. So a New Jersey federal court was trying a man named Kevin Ruiz Quesada in Camden for allegedly assaulting an ICE agent back in December 2017 at Ruiz Quesada's home. The defendant was a permanent legal resident but was eligible for deportation to his home country of Nicaragua following two previous convictions. So those convictions were for crimes involving moral turpitude, according to New Jersey's Courier Post reported. Something nasty, Ruben.
Yeah, so a crime of moral turpitude is basically one that's done recklessly or with evil intent and which shocks the public conscience as inherently base and vile or depraved, and contrary to the rules of morality and the duties owed between people or to society in general. And when people get convicted of a crime of moral turpitude, one's record, in some cases, even just admitting to the crime can block one's application for a visa or green card, as described in crimes that make U.S. visa or green card applications inadmissible. So, yeah, there's sections that talk about moral turpitude in that.
Probably a sexual predator. Seriously, he's probably just a nasty sexual predator. So the article says, when federal officers went to arrest him, he allegedly, in 2017, he attacked them. Officers were pulled onto a living room table, according to the official complaint against the defendant. One of the officers suffered some minor surgery after the scuffle. The accused was being tried for that alleged assault, but the trial was derailed thanks to the actions of a rogue juror who defied a judge and relied on an internet search engine to assist with research. The judge in the case said, quote, the Courier Post reported a man named Stephen Mile was deliberating last month with other jurors when he and others became confused about a patch on an ICE uniform. Per the court, Stephen Mile had been told not to use books, the internet, or other means to do his own research. Stephen Mile, the juror, allegedly ignored the order and went to Google for answers, only to be led to believe that the uniform patch was a logo for white supremacy. Stephen Mile, the juror, then shared his findings with other jurors. Big no-no. The Department of Justice said in a media release that Steve Mile had been fined $11,227 as his actions caused U.S. District Judge Robert Kugler to find him in contempt of court.
Awesome.
And to declare a mistrial. And that's a big old slap in the hand.
Yeah, that's a good fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
go ahead, pick it up from there, Ruben.
So juror number 7 was one of 12 jurors on a federal criminal trial held in Camden Federal Court before the judge, Judge Kugler. Before and during the trial, the juror 7 and the other jurors were instructed repeatedly, both in writing and verbally, not to conduct any research about the case, including through the use of the internet, the DOJ said. But during the recess in the trial, Juror 7 conducted internet research into evidence in the case. He then shared his findings with the other jurors during deliberations, causing a mistrial. The fine represents the court's costs associated with impaneling the juror for trial. Ruiz Quesada will have to be tried again, all because a man who was supposed to be fair and impartial ignored a court order and allowed identity politics and the less fear-mongering about race to compromise the common sense of a person such as a juror should hold. Apparently obsessed with toxic identity politics and white supremacy, the juror wasted the court's time by ignoring the court the court order and drawing a wild conclusion. So then that man then potentially tainted the rest of the jury with ignorant statements that asserted federal officers wear patches to signify that they view themselves as racially superior to minorities, which is absolutely nonsense. It's insane. At least it's being at least he's being charged for the dollars spent to conduct the trial. But the saga calls into question whether jury pools are even rational enough in this day and age to decide the outcomes of cases. In any event, the mistrial is an embarrassment and an indictment of American culture. And what rational person would come to believe that ICE agents are running around openly advertising white supremacy? And no such person belongs on a jury in any courtroom. And this person should have been screened out during the selection process. But you know, the attorneys only have so many recusals, and where you can have one step down.
Preemptory challenges.
Yeah. So if you've ever sat on a jury, I've never sat on a jury because I was, you know, in law enforcement. So I was I just got a jury summons actually, but I didn't have to go. So I've never sat on one. I've been excused, but it's a big deal. I mean, you're out there trying to listen to the facts presented and not add to the evidence, or just as it comes to you and deliberate on it honestly. But yeah, they do some screening beforehand to see if you have any biases. Are you able to make a fair and impartial decision, you know, hearing the facts? And so it's an embarrassment to the court system. I remember one time, Jess, I was on a double murder case. I was the gang expert on that. And we had this guy dead to rights. I mean, it was a scuffle between people who knew each other. And one guy pulled out a gun and blasted him. And so this older gentleman who didn't, because they were looking for second degree. They were filing second degree murder because it was in the heat of passion. There was a fight that preceded it. So this old man was like, no, this is first degree murder. He meant to kill him, you know, and he held out. And so it was a mistrial, even though everybody voted for guilty. The old man was saying, no, he's holding out because he was confused. And it was just, it was sad that they had to redo the whole trial as a result of that. I mean, he just needed a better explanation, unfortunately. So you've been listening to Jesus 911, and we'll be right back.
We're going to talk about health. Can you believe it? We're going to talk about the health and the body now.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Proverbs 17:50, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. And one of my favorite verses, Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
So, that's basically the Jewish verse that guides them on how to live. It's basically, if a Jew wants to know, so how am I supposed to live as a Jew? It's Micah 6:8, what Reuben just read right now.
Right.
That's kind of like for the Catholics, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas says, do good and avoid evil. That's the Jewish precept on how to live. We're going to move now into an area that we don't talk much about, the connection between the soul and the body in terms of even eating right. Reuben and me, former athletes, probably Reuben is still more into it than I am these days. But it's a pretty good article by Spirit Daily. It says purification can lead to healing. And it makes sense to me. It's a common sense article. It says, purify your thoughts and you will purify your body, because the body manifests what is in the spirit. Let your first thought about someone be positive or at least loving. And in this way, purity will begin to surround you as a force that cleanses and prepares you for health. And it is a topic for the day. Cleansing our bodies, which are the temples of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Sirach is the advice in Sirach 18:8, before sickness, prepare the cure, close quote. So how do we prepare the cure? We do so by engulfing our bodies in the positive. Any spot in the spirit may manifest as a spot in our bodies. And if it grows in the spirit, it can grow in the physical as well and turn malignant. This is not to blame every illness on spiritual darkness. I mean, we all grow old, and there is sickness that is redemptive. We call it redemptive suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Even St. Francis was ill at a young age. But we can prevent many ills with what we think, how we pray, and what we put into our bodies. Think about preventing illnesses with how we think. There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, when I confessed my sin not, my body wasted away. Think about a heroin addict who's been slamming heroin since he was 15. He's now 30 in the LA County Jail. And, you know, he fallen away Catholic, never confessed his sin, never repented of it. And now he's in his 30s in a jail cell in the LA County Jail with the hives and having withdrawals. Why? Psalm 32, verse 5. When I confess my sin not to God, my body wasted away. Mm. Our sins, you know, we've seen it. It could have a direct effect on your body. Again, praying.
Right.
Praying. There's studies done by Ivy League schools on the cathartic or their therapeutic aspects to praying. People that are sick, they heal faster. The people that are sick that pray, get sick less often. They get off on medication faster. These are all medical studies that prove the power of prayer when the body's ill. And also the final point, then I'll turn it over to Ruben. What we put into our bodies is very important. I mean, it's like what you put into a computer: garbage in, garbage out. If you're always putting, bad stuff into the body, it's going to manifest. It's going to manifest through illnesses and sicknesses. Ruben, you want to take it from there?
Well, yeah, and it reminds me of St. Paul, what he says in 1 Corinthians 11. Those who are receiving the body of our Lord unworthily are falling asleep. They're dying, you know. So that's one example of, you know, your sins are causing, you know, causing, could cause illness, can cause death.
Yeah, he says some of you are sick and dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how?
Because you're receiving Holy Communion like Biden in a state of sacrilege, yeah. Mortal sin.
Right. That's unfortunate that the belief in the real presence has diminished to under 30% in the Catholic Church, and it's not by coincidence. It's not by accident. You know,
it was by design.
By design. Yeah. Well,
by the modernist at Vatican II and right after.
Yeah. So how do we prepare a cure? How do we halt an illness before it's an illness? How do we protect ourselves and loved ones against the many potential scourges of this life? We invoke the Holy Spirit. When we pray to the Holy Spirit to suffuse us and our loved ones with the spirit of health, He guides us as to what we should eat. Otherwise, we would be lost in all the conflicting and complex information on latest scientific food studies. So start there. We pray our intuitions come up with the ideas, and we may share a recent intuition. It involves the use of water and fruit to cleanse the body. As we have urged before, drink plenty of pure water. Try to drink the purest water you can find. See it as a physical representation of the living waters. Pray over each glass, you know.
I never thought about that, praying over your water. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. I mean, that's very Catholic.
Yeah, it's especially you pray over your water when you go to Mexico, Jess. You know, if you could drink some of that purified water, that's pretty good for you. And you're going to might want to put a little bit of salt. And I think the article talks about this here. So did you ever wonder why so many ancients believed in healing springs or fountains of youth? Start here. Water. Drink as much as your body tolerates. Flush out your system. There are the living waters of heaven and the living waters in our body, which should be purified like our spirits. And that's a true statement. You know, we should be drinking a lot of water, and most of us don't drink enough water. And I used to say, oh, I got water in my coffee, man. I drank three cups of coffee today. That's, you know, but we worked with a nutritionist and says, no, you got to have, you know, purified water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't count when you're drinking coffee. Because you're still taxing the liver, and, you know, so Did you ever wonder why so many ancients believed in healing springs? Or I read that already. Regularly fast, Francis of Assisi called the body brother donkey. He kept his brother under perfect control, sometimes without food and water or denying it something special that it liked very much. This also purifies. Yeah, because you're denying yourself. You're getting your body to conform, you know, to your higher faculties rather than listening to your lower faculties.
Mm-hmm.
And, and doing some suffering, doing some, reparation and expiation for our sins. And meanwhile, it's crucial to health and fascinating that human blood has such a remarkable similarity in mineral composition to ocean water. So perhaps that's another step. Make sure you eat foods with minerals found in ocean water. Genuine sea salt is an excellent source for readily soluble sodium with trace iodine and other minerals found in the sea, and it causes less water retention than regular salt, which puts on weight. So you know, even this nutritionist, he says, you know, to add a little pinch of sea salt to your water so your body can absorb it more readily. Hmm. To purge excess salt and purify organs like the liver, drink water with a couple of tablespoons of lemon. And that's what we're doing every day is a hot glass of water, a hot cup of water with a half a lemon squeezed into it. It also speeds up the metabolism and purifies the organs like the liver. You drink water with a couple of tablespoons of lemon or grapefruit juice sweetened with real maple syrup. I'm not doing that anymore. I did that for a bit, but after about a month, I just did away with that. And spiced with cayenne if your body can tolerate it.
So. The Holy Spirit may lead you to eat peaches or apples or papayas or avocados or red grapes. The last two are my favorites. Specific fish, yeah, Fridays for me. Wednesdays and Fridays here in the Romero house, we eat fish. Or nuts, yeah, Anita's big on nuts. That's why she married me. of course, one could extol many other nutrients. Let's take the scourge of macular degeneration, which causes loss of eyesight. Many say it can be prevented or lessened by consuming foods that contain lutein, an antioxidant belonging to the carotenoid family that can be found in dark green leafy vegetables such as kale, spinach, collards, broccoli, garden peas, zucchini, Brussels sprouts, pistachio nuts, various fruits, carrots, mustard greens, purple, red, or blue fruits, romaine lettuce, dill, parsley, corn, and tomatoes. Egg yolks are also sources of lutein, perhaps most powerful for the antioxidants, goji berries. We mention this because so many are having vision problems. It is God, his angels, who will direct us. He made endless healthy fruits and vegetables, and only he knows the combination that best fits our unique bodies. Otherwise, our heads will spin with all the nutritional advice. Your body's unique and has unique needs that only God can see in their entirety. How else do we prepare the cure? By asking our angels to scan our bodies and heal any illnesses that may be in an incipient, barely detectable state, especially tumors. Ask God to permeate and surround you and your loved ones with purity of immunity from the countless maladies that can afflict us. Cast away the spirit of tumors, if such may be around. Cast away the spirit of arthritis in case that's there. Cast off the spirit of diabetes or arterial diseases or heart ailments and every sort of cancer. Cast away the spirit of infirmity and ask God through his angels to constantly minister to you. Purify your thought process besides your mouth. Watch what enters your eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. Cleanse the innermost chambers of your spirit. Watch the eye gates and take custody of your eyes. Now comes cleanliness, which is next to godliness. True health, lemons, apples, lutein. The Lord can cure anything and use everything we have on this earth.
Yeah, I would recommend alkaline water. But, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we only have one body. We have to take care of it. And when we abuse it, you know, and I mean, there's one of the seven deadly sins what is it? Eating too much, gluttony.
Gluttony. And also, Reuben, the fifth commandment, when you look at the fifth commandment in the catechism, in the new catechism, it says, also not taking care of your body. That's like death by a thousand slashes. Mm. So you're violating the principle of thou shalt not kill. You're killing your body slowly when you don't take care of it. So that's death by a thousand slashes.
Yeah, so you develop bad addictions like smoking and excessive drinking, drugs, those things. You're abusing your body, and there's going to be some serious consequences and side effects.
And that's at the very least, that's a venial sin, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we talked about that about marijuana on this show before, Jess. So,
yep.
Anyway, you've been listening to Jesus 911. Hope you enjoy the show. We will ask you to share it, like it, and talk to your friends. Share the show with us, with them. And who you've been listening to, you're going to be listening to Hands On Apologetics with Gary Mishuta coming up next from the Midwest Command Center. Good to be with you, and God bless you. Keep the faith. If you're not praying your rosary, you're not part of the team.
EOW, end of watch.
10-7.